Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nazarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. A group of researchers at Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, BC, are using archaeology as a means of Indigenous reconciliation and heritage protection. The Hoyatai Laskiti Archaeology Project, also known as XLAP, is working towards advancing reconciliation among the Indigenous and settler populations of Laskiti Island, which is a remote island located off the east coast of Vancouver Island in the Strait of Georgia. Starting in 2021, XLAP is continuously being worked on by a community of volunteers and researchers from both Indigenous and settler communities, as well as Indigenous knowledge holders from Comox Nation, Tohaamen Nation, Wiwakum Nation, Kwalukum Nation, and Halalt Nation. Recently, a talk on XLAP was hosted by Dana Lipovsky, a professor of archaeology at SFU, leader of the XLAP project, and a resident of Laskiti, as well as project leader and professor of resource and environmental management, Sean Markey. CJSF attended the event and spoke with Lipovsky and Markey about the ways in which they believe this project has been able to honor, respect, and protect Indigenous heritage in Laskiti. One of the main ways that they've been able to achieve this has been through public outreach and education. Until recently, it was widely believed by the residents of Laskiti that there was no Indigenous heritage or presence on the island. According to Lipovsky and Markey, this research project has undoubtedly dispelled this myth.
And I should say that I'm a resident here. I was a part-time resident for many decades and now a full-time resident. So I have been kind of slowly working away at talking to people about Indigenous history and to break down that myth of First Nations were never here permanently. Okay, they came here to collect resources, but they certainly didn't live here full time. There weren't very big numbers. You know, there was a lot of that same kind of truths going around, but slowly, surely over the decades of working with community members and going to fall fairs and to the market and giving talks, many people started to realize that, oh yeah, really, this doesn't make sense. And we're so happy to embrace it. But even with that, it was just kind of slow baby steps forward. And I was surprised that when we launched our project we got the funding, well, you know, in the same month that everything shut down around COVID. I was surprised that even given me doing this for decades and living here and being known to people and having pretty widespread group of friends, that people still didn't know. So it took this kind of massive amount of effort on the project team's part to actually, now no one can say they haven't heard it. Some people still don't believe it, but everybody has heard it and most people embrace it.
Afterwards, Sean Markey expanded on the planning and policy aspect of the research project.
You know, this is where the planning and the policy piece comes in, is that those two systems have also done nothing really to educate people, to make information available to people. There's nothing, for example, you know, there should be, and there's sort of, as I articulated in the talk, there is good policy in place about, you know, what it's illegal to disrupt Indigenous heritage and those types of things. But in terms of its presence and ready access to information about where sites are, incorporating knowledge about sites and what it means to have a site on property within the real estate process, for example, is all pretty much completely absent and very much, again, just simply reflective of those colonial myths and colonial systems that are in place to really not value it. And as I mentioned in the talk, it has really sort of more seen Indigenous heritage as a barrier to facilitating the development and something of value in its own right.
Later on in the discussion, Lipovsky emphasized the importance of Indigenous communities and knowledge holders playing a leading role in archaeological research such as this.
And it shouldn't happen. This is the thing, is that archaeology is this extraordinarily privileged position, as is planners who get to make or enact different policies around Indigenous heritage. We're the outsiders. It's not our heritage. So it's kind of it's a funny position in a way. So it's a privilege to be able to talk about planning and archaeology of someone else's heritage. And so it can't happen. It shouldn't happen. It would be silly for it to happen without a partnered endeavor.
Since this research project focuses primarily on Luskidi or Hoyatai, we decided to ask Dana Lepofsky if she could explain how similar research could be utilized to advance Indigenous reconciliation in somewhere such as Burnaby.
I believe really strongly in the power of archaeology, and it's been an archaeological part of the archaeological culture with some good reasons to actually keep like where archaeological sites are private, because a couple bad actors will always come in and do some damage and trespass and dig up things. And so it's meant that the public doesn't really know or see archaeology. But I think they want to. So over all the years, every time I've done an excavation, one of the criteria that I have when I'm working with community members is we can go anywhere in your territory you want, but I also want to do something that's very public, that's very accessible. And I sometimes even design my excavation units so that I've done this quite a few times, so that people can gather around them. So it's safe, like easy access and easy viewing. Because I believe in the power of archaeology to change. And it's not just for settlers, it's for Indigenous youth as well. When you see this colonial landscape with manicured lawns and gardens and stuff, it's hard to know unless someone helps you see that right below their feet is like, thousands of years of their own history. So I talk about kind of teaching people to have archaeology eyes. So in Burnaby, easy. Like, we could pick a place. And every time we've done this, like I always say to my husband, oh, no one's going to come, no press are going to come. But anyway, after all these years, I think I'd know, but so wrong. People come in droves. They want to know. People love archaeology. They're drawn to it, even if they don't necessarily yet jive with the the kind of the truth around Indigenous history. They still love the archaeology. There's a cool factor. Actually, we have a student who's doing interviews about that. Like, what is it about that that we're drawn to around the material objects and the like? So I would say what we're doing here has parallels in so many places, and many places are doing this. It helps here because it's an island, so it's easy, it's contained. We know our audience. But in the Fraser Valley, where I've worked, in other places, it's the same story. People will come. You just need to make it open and available and inviting, and you need to keep at it. And you need to make sure that to really make systemic change, you need to work with the policy folks. You need to, in Burnaby, like you need to work with the municipality in Burnaby, do the exact same thing. Have public archaeology, have people come, have people participate, work with the teachers. It's all the same playbook, really.
Lastly, Sean Markey expanded on this sentiment and explained how local governments could be doing more to collaborate with local Indigenous communities.
I would add, yeah, I mean, I mentioned the talk just as a planner. I'm somewhat familiar with what archaeology is, but I had no real true appreciation for how powerful it can be to mediate conversations in the present. In addition to that engaged archaeological approach that Dana was just talking about, I witnessed, really powerfully firsthand within the XLAP project, the power of building relationships, of just gathering together with settlers, with nations. Some of the fear drops away, right? The fear of doing the wrong thing, for example, which I know can inhibit a lot of local governments from just simply reaching out. They're worried about offending or doing the wrong thing, or they don't know how. A common response that I hear from nations is, well, you could phone and ask, right? So, I think, creating pathways where people can, settlers can interact with nations and learn about their history is incredibly powerful.
Once again, you were listening to Dana Lepofsky and Sean Markey, two leading researchers, a part of the Hoyatai, Luskidi, archaeology project that is working towards using their archaeological findings to educate the island's residents on its Indigenous history, as well as foster and advance Indigenous reconciliation on Luskidi. Once again, this has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This segment would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.